That's good. Just have a moment or two to pray. Are there any particular requests this morning for prayer? Yes, sir. Yes. Well, we do feel for you, Jan, and this has gone on for so long now, hasn't it? Yes, thank you for raising that. Sam is still in hospital and he's very up and down all the time. Marjorie is still hoping to get him home at some stage, but we don't know for certain when that will be. But she still is in need of lifts, if anybody is able to provide them down to Tewkesbury Hospital. We also had some news from Joan Harris that she's home this week, she's well, and she wants to thank us for our prayers. So that's something really to give praise for, isn't it? Any other matters that people would like to raise? I know you look around, everybody's got problems on their minds. I know we can't share everybody's problems, but we can pray for each other, can't we, when we know of the difficulties that people are facing. Let's pray for a moment or two. Lord, we turn to you once again as we know that we can just come to you whenever we like, because we know that you care for us and that we know that you do answer prayer. And so, Lord, as we turn to you now in the sometimes difficult situations where we can't see the answer, yet we know that you do. You do have an answer to everything. And Lord, we just bring Jan before you now at the difficult time that she's been through now for so long. And as Spencer gets weaker, Lord, we do pray that he might have a consciousness of your presence, that you'll help Jan over this time to, you'll just bear her up, and that she'll have the right words to say when she ministers to him. Nor for any others of our fellowship who are going through difficult times at the moment, we remember especially Sam lying there in hospital. He seems to have been hardly conscious a lot this week, but Lord, when he is in his right mind and he's able to turn his thoughts to you, as he will no doubt be trying to do this morning, we ask that you will minister to him, that he will sense your presence and know that you're there beside him. And that you'll also be with Marjorie as she tries to live through these difficult times, uncertain as to what the future is, uncertain as to what she should do. And all the time this anxiety of Sam being there in hospital, suffering and going through a difficult time. So we just bring her to you now, Lord, and ask that you will minister to her needs, that you will guide her and the whole family as to the right moves to make now. In order to just give you thanks for Joan Harris, that she's been able to get home and that she's doing well. And Lord, we just thank you for all the answers to prayer that we have seen in her life. And we thank you for her positive outlook in this really difficult time. And Lord, as we just think around all the other people, our friends in this fellowship here who are just sitting beside us and around us now, we know that there are many with difficulties on their minds, some with difficult decisions to make. Let's just spend a moment or two just asking God to just lay someone on our mind to pray for now. So, Lord, we pray that you'll just take these, our prayers, and you'll answer them in ways which are in accordance with your will. And now as we turn to your word, Lord, grant that we'll understand a little bit more of it, that we'll be ready to receive whatever you have to say to us this morning through it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad Wayne started our science lesson this morning, because I'd like to continue it a little bit now. At the beginning of the 20th century, it was an amazing time in science. Amazing developments were taking place, particularly in physics. There was this guy Einstein. He came along with his great theory, which meant that the whole of the underlying theory of physics had to be rewritten. And there were a number of scientists working on the structure of the atom and finding that they needed a whole new theory to explain how the bits and pieces inside the atom fit together and how they work. It was an amazingly exciting time for physicists. And by the 1930s, they had shown theoretically that there was enormous power locked up in the atom. And of course, by the time the outbreak of the Second World War, we know exactly what happened. Huge resources were put into finding out how that power could be released in a bomb. And we all know the outcome. Isn't it sad that the first use of this tremendous power was a destructive use? But if we can just lay that aside for a moment, it was an enormous scientific achievement to have shown that this tremendous power was there, locked up in the atom, and all they had to do was to find out how to release it, and they achieved that. A wonderful achievement scientifically. Now, we face a very similar problem in the spiritual realm. Within every believer, there is potentially enormous power. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in every believer. And so our problem is simply how to release that power. The answer is prayer in the spirit. You know, Einstein... in 1952, just 3 years before he died, gave a lecture. And at the end of that lecture, a student asked him, said, "Professor, what is there that is still left to be discovered?" And Einstein gave a most remarkable answer. He said to that student, "Find out about prayer." Isn't that amazing? I don't know whether it was towards the end of his life, he was beginning to realize that to release the power that's available in prayer is even more important than releasing the power that is there in the atom. Find out about prayer, and that is exactly what we are trying to do. We started our series last week, which I've entitled Praying with a Purpose. And last week we were looking at the reason for it, seeing the purpose. Our subject for this week is how to pray in the Spirit. We looked at a simple flow diagram last week, which I said would be helpful if we could keep this in mind as we proceed with our series of three sessions on it. It was really to illustrate Jesus' words in John 15, where he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," that's the abiding relationship, "you can ask whatever you will and it will be given you." That's the prayer. "This is to my Father's glory that you produce much fruit and show yourselves to be my disciples." And the whole picture of that chapter is Jesus the vine, isn't it? And every single Christian is a branch of the vine. And what's the job of a branch? Simply to convey the life of the vine. And that's how the flow of Jesus' life is to flow through every believer. And this is how it's done. From this abiding relationship we pray, and that prayer produces the fruit. That was the sort of picture we had last time. And this is the picture I'd like us to retain throughout. So today we're thinking about prayer in the Spirit. Now I'd like us to read the key passage on this from Romans and chapter 8. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if I could jump to a couple of verses at the end of that chapter, or later on in that chapter. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Last time, when we were thinking about the close relationship we have to have with Jesus, we were reminding ourselves that the Spirit of God lives in us, the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus lives in us by his Spirit. And we were thinking, what an awesome thing that is to get to grips with, isn't it? When you think about it, the Spirit of Jesus actually lives in me. That's an amazing thing to come to terms with. This week we've got something just as awesome to come to terms with, and that is, not only is the Spirit of Jesus living in us, he is praying for us, is interceding for us, and he wants to help us in our prayers because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We're no good at praying. That's why the Spirit wants to help us. Indeed, he is praying for us, there within us. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, to pray in the Spirit means that we've got to pray along with the Spirit. Pray the same things that the Spirit is praying already within us. It's a cooperation with the Spirit. That's an amazing thing. How do we do that? How do we pray along with the Spirit? Well, he starts us off, you see, by telling us, he witnesses to our spirit. There's a reaction, interaction between our spirit and the Holy Spirit when he bears witness that we are children of God. He enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, he's giving us that deep assurance right deep down in our spirit that we are God's children. And it's because of that we can cry out to God and call him Father in this intimate way. That's how it all begins. This is how our prayer begins. And again, it emphasizes this close association we have to have with God, this intimate relationship between us and Jesus before we can pray aright. And we can start by praying, Abba, Father. We can address God as our Father. What an amazing thing that is. So that's how it starts. It's cooperation with the Spirit. But we may think, well, okay, that's fine, but how do we go on? I mean, how do we know what the Spirit is praying for? And if praying in the Spirit means we go along with the Spirit, praying the same things, how on earth do we do that? How do we know what the Spirit is praying? Well, I want to just show you perhaps one or two examples from ordinary everyday life, rather than just carry on making theological statements. I want to take one or two quite specific examples from everyday life to show you how we can actually pray in the Spirit, and we can be aware that we are doing so, and we can actually see the flow of this life that we've been thinking of when in that flow diagram. In order to do this, I would very strongly recommend that you keep a prayer journal. A lot of people have prayer diaries or prayer lists or prayer journals. There's a lot to be said for this. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea. I don't feel it's obligatory. There's nothing in the Bible says that you've got to do it, but it is a great help. In fact, I keep a book which I suppose you could call it a prayer journal. I think of it more as a prayer workbook, and I think you'll see why in a moment. And I use that to help me actually see the way the Spirit is leading and the way His life is flowing through and is directed through prayer. So, how do we start? Let me just take one or two quite simple, specific examples. We know straight away that the Spirit will pray along certain lines. If you read the Scripture, there are certain things the Scripture tells us that the Spirit is there for. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." So we can say straight away, the Spirit is there living in us in order that we shall be able to witness to Jesus. So this is certainly one of the things the Spirit is praying, that we shall be witnesses. So in my prayer workbook, I would have something like this. The Spirit is there to give us power to witness. No question about it. This is what the Spirit is praying for. So if I want to pray along with the Spirit, I could pray exactly the same thing. I could say, "Lord, will you give me power to witness for you?" And I would certainly be in line with what the Spirit is praying. And I could say, "Amen." And that's a good prayer. It's general, but it's a good prayer. It's certainly in line with the Spirit. But I've learned that it's very important in seeking to pray in the Spirit, we learn to wait. And at that point, I would just wait a moment and ask myself, "Lord, do you want to take me a little bit further than this? I'm not just going to witness to thin air, am I? Who do you want me to witness to?" And I just wait for a moment, see what the Spirit brings to mind. I may think of the people whom I will be meeting this day. Perhaps in the next few days. I know I'll be meeting with Joe Bloggs today. And there'll be one or two other people I will be meeting with. And so I could say, "Okay, Lord, I really want you to help me to witness to these people. Amen." Very good prayer. Certainly in line with what the Spirit wants. But then I've learned, carry on waiting a bit. Is there a particular thing? Is there a particular person? Is it Joe Bloggs? Is it X? Is it Y? And in what way should I witness to them? Maybe it's Joe Bloggs. Okay, well, I've got to take the arrow a bit further from Joe Bloggs. Now, what do I know about old Joe? Is there any particular way in which I can witness to him? What do I remember about conversations I've had with him in the past? What do I know about him? Maybe I will recall that he was a bit anxious over something. Maybe he was anxious over money. And didn't he mention that he had a sick wife? So I need to pray around that. Now, Lord, is there any way in which I can witness to him through some of these things? Maybe it is that the Lord will say to me, "Yes, here's a word for you. I've got a word for you over his anxiety." Maybe the Lord will just give us something, would be a right thing to say to that man in his anxious state. What about this sick wife? Would it be right, Lord, for me to offer to pray for his sick wife? That's another way in which I could witness. So, you see, what I'm doing here is just following through the prayers, seeing how the power of the Spirit can move through us, how this power can be directed through prayer in ways which are quite easy to see. When this happens, you can see it all taking place. But that isn't really the end of the story, because I would want to go back to this situation a little later on and say, what's happened as a result of those prayers? Maybe that word did produce some fruit. What happened when I gave him that word from you, Lord? Maybe he just received it in a very positive way. Maybe it helped him along the line a little bit. Then I will note that down in my prayer workbook. Did that prayer for his wife have some effect? Did she perhaps feel a little bit better? Maybe she was completely healed. Praise God if she was. But look for the fruit. And the amazing thing is that if we do this, we will see fruit. There's no question about it. But you see, it enables me to see that. Remember, we said that the whole purpose of prayer was to channel the love, the power of Jesus through our lives, and it just helps us to see how that is done. Well, that's just one example. Let's take another example. We know for certain that the Spirit wants to change us, doesn't he? He wants to change us. Because in Galatians 5 we read of all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things the Spirit wants to grow in us. So it's certainly in line with the Spirit's praying. If we pray along those lines, say, Lord, I want to know more of your love, your joy, your peace, and so on. So that's another area that we could pray in. Certainly this will be praying in the Spirit, because it's in line with what the Spirit is praying. He wants us to pray for those things. So again, I could end the prayer there. I could say, Lord, just give me more of your love and your joy and your peace. I want to experience more of these in my life. Will you cause these things to grow in me? Good prayer. Amen. But again, it's worth just waiting a moment and asking, Lord, is there a particular thing in that list of fruit of the Spirit, is there a particular thing that you're impressing upon me at the moment? Maybe the Lord just picks out that word love. Says, you're not actually very loving at the moment, are you? So I could pray, okay, Lord, grant me more of your love. Amen. Good prayer. But again, ask myself, who am I supposed to be loving, Lord? Where am I lacking in love for somebody? And he might answer us. He might give us one or two possibilities. Who should I be loving? Well, wife, husband, family member, work colleague, neighbour, list anything that the Spirit puts in our mind of people we should be loving more. Okay, suppose he, just for example, I'm giving you just brief examples of these things, suppose he picked on the wife. So the Lord just tapped me on the shoulder. You should be loving your wife a bit better. Okay, Lord, how should I be loving my wife? Well, we remember what the Scripture says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So there's no question in my mind what the Spirit is praying. He's praying that I shall love my wife in a self-giving way. So Lord, how can I do that? So again, you go back to the workbook, and we've run out of space on these slides. If it was a long slide, I could add things to it, but we'll have to go on to a new slide. Wait, how am I to love my wife in that way? Maybe things will come to mind. Maybe I will remember that wonky old shelf she asked me to mend weeks ago and I still haven't done it. Maybe there are half a dozen other things that I come to mind that I could love my wife in a better way. Good job you're not here this morning. So then, you see, I suppose I actually go and do it. Okay, I mend my shelf. Then I come back to this situation a little bit later and say, well, what's the fruit? Is there any fruit there? Well, almost certainly there would be if I'd mended that shelf. You'd see fruit immediately. You've got a happy wife. There's the fruit, you see. But you get the idea that we find in general terms what the Spirit wants us to pray for, what he's praying for in us, and we pray alongside him. But he leads us along, you see. This is how the prayer flows. We see that flow of the Spirit's power through these little arrows and things. Well, there are many other things that we can't. You could give hundreds of examples like this. You remember that verse I had on the screen when you walked in? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. And at the end of that verse it says, pray for all the saints. Well, that's limitless, isn't it? we need to just think around. Who are the other Christians we know, and what are their needs at the moment? Just thinking around this fellowship, you could probably fill in half a dozen arrows there straight away. How do you want me to pray for that person over that particular thing? We jot it down. See how the flow is going through. See how the prayer will work. This is prayer in the Spirit. We have a weekly prayer guide, don't we? Lists things, and they're, of course, of a very general nature because it's going out to everybody. But you see, you can take arrows from each one of those things and say, Lord, how do you want me to pray for that particular thing? Another arrow. Write it down and see how the flow of prayer goes through that situation. Another thing that the Spirit is doing within us is that he gives spiritual gifts. I know we've talked about these at times in passing. I think we perhaps could talk about them again. I'll touch on this a little bit next week. Because there are all sorts of gifts that the Spirit wants to give us, and he will certainly be praying that we have it. I mean, there are a number of people in the fellowship who pray in tongues, and that's one way of praying in the Spirit. But it's only one way. Praying in the Spirit is much more general than that. Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. So it's much more general. But that's one particular gift. There are all sorts of other gifts, as we've seen. If we were able to give a word to that man, Joe Bloggs, that is using the gift of prophecy, a prophetic word. And we need to understand about all of these things if we're really going to pray in the Spirit. So I hope that's just given you one or two examples of how we can actually see this whole process of prayer going through. And if we just go back to our original diagram, you see we started with the abiding relationship. This leads to prayer, and the prayer leads to the fruit. Now, what we've done really is to put a circle around that. We've looked at all sorts of different ways in which this can actually happen. We can actually see this in specific examples. We can see how this flow of Jesus' life and power going through us from the abiding relationships through prayer to produce all these fruit. You may say, well, that sounds very good, but suppose you go through this process and you just hit a brick wall and you don't see the fruit. Well, there are problems, obviously, and there's much we have to learn about prayer. And there may well be times when you'll follow it through and plonk, it doesn't seem to produce anything. I'm sure every one of us has had this kind of experience. Just seem to hit a brick wall. Well, there's a lot we can learn about brick walls, and we'll be coming onto that next week when we start to talk about perseverance and practice. But praying in the Spirit is something that we desperately need to do if we want to see the power of Jesus flowing through us. I once heard a story of a missionary who had come back on furlough, and he was talking to his home church and explaining many of the great answers to prayers that they'd had in their work. And at the end of the meeting, a member of the church asked him a question, said, how is it that you're experiencing all these answers to prayer, whereas here in this church we hardly experience anything? Well, he said, I'll let you into a secret, he says. I cheat. I just have a look to see what God is doing, and then I join in. Well, he was only joking, actually, about cheating. It isn't cheating at all. This is praying in the Spirit. Seeing what God is doing, seeing what God is praying for, getting to understand what God is praying for, having this spiritual receptivity to know what the Spirit is praying for within us and going along with it. That's praying in the Spirit. But we've got a lot to learn. If we as a fellowship could get to grips with praying in the Spirit, really understand what it is, there's nothing that God could not do through us. You know, we could break down all the strongholds of the enemy with spiritual atomic bombs. But there's a lot to do, there's a lot to work on, there's a lot to learn together about praying together. How do we pray together in the Spirit? Could we follow this kind of path through with all those arrows praying together? I believe we could, but we'll come on to deal with some of those things next week. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that we can have this access to you through prayer. And Lord, we just ask that you'll teach us more about it. Teach us more about that wonderful Spirit of yours which dwells in each one of us and is praying for us. Teach us how to pray along with him, to pray in the Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand now for our last song, Lord, I Come to You. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip us with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.